Addiction never affects just the addict. It affects all of us. Recovering from addiction and alcoholism is also a life-changing battle for families dealing with a loved one's addiction. Numerous programs support addicts as they reclaim their lives, while their families face their own challenges without the same guidance. You're listening to Voices in Courage with K.L. Wells, where we transform the lives of the families and loved ones of addicts and alcoholics from surviving to thriving in the midst of chaos. Tune in as we highlight vulnerable stories of families who have addicted relatives and friends and learn how they have dealt with the challenges of isolation, desperation, and shame. If you are seeking ways to live your best life, then we welcome you into this safe space. Be a part of change today with your host, K.L. Wells.
Hi, we are here today with Vanessa Sexton, and I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to have her here. We met quite a while ago, almost 20 years ago, actually, in Bozeman, Montana, when I was having some major challenges with my son. And now he's just about ready to turn 32. So I reached out to Vanessa probably a month or so ago just to reconnect and find out what she was up to, and found out that she's been on quite a journey since we saw each other last. And I would say she was so foundational, pivotal, life affirming and life changing for me in the midst of the crises that I was dealing with relative to Sam. And we always need someone that's going to hold the ground for us and tell us the truth and help us navigate the best way possible. And so for me, that was Vanessa. So it is with great pleasure that I say hi to you today and turn it a little bit over to you.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Thank you. I remember that day very well when you and Sam walked into the office. And first of all, I was honored and thrilled to work with both of you, because one of my greatest passions is working with people who are smart and creative. And that's what I got from both of you. So thank you very much. Those are incredibly kind words. My journey, and I might start now and go backwards, is finding the love of neurofeedback and biofeedback. And so what happened to me almost 30 years ago, living in Bozeman, there were not a lot of services, particularly for people with addiction. That is how I landed on neurofeedback. And looking backwards, I wish I would have started with neurofeedback in Bozeman at that time, because it is an avenue that is so individual and so helpful, and a way to train the brain. Mm-hmm. So how I landed on neurofeedback was partially from you and Sam, and what I've calculated as 108 clients. So I call my journey myself, a daughter, a dog, and 108 clients. The 108 being extremely creative, all of which sat and said the same thing to me. Kathy, you said it many times. Is there something more I should be doing? Mm-hmm. And that sentence both haunted me and blessed me, because it led me to neurofeedback. Is mm-hmm. there something more we can do for everybody? For me personally, growing up as a very introverted, shy child, all the teachers, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? Instead of, let's honor who this person is in the world. So this led me to the dog. The dog was in dog training, and he's part husky, part Pomeranian, part who knows, cute as
beautiful
brown husky. He's gorgeous and really, really, really naughty, really naughty. So he gets kicked out of 3 preschools. And there was a trainer there that was in search and rescue and something called nose work. And I said, can Kobe the husky join your nose work group? No, absolutely not. We do German shepherds and dogs that we know will be successful. So I pout. She calls me back, this fabulous trainer named Caroline. Caroline calls back and says, let's give Kobe a try. So they put the scent of birch on a Q-tip, and they hide the Q-tip in a 100-year-old pig barn in Bozeman, Montana. Okay. Fabulous smells, mice and pig shit, everything, right? This is yeah. glorious.
Right.
And Kobe has 3 minutes to go in the barn and find a Q-tip that smells like birch. Kobe doesn't care about birch. He cares about chicken and bison and mice poop and whatever. So after training him, here's what amazed me. Kobe would go in the barn. In 3 minutes, he would find the smell on a Q-tip, come to me and say, there's the smell. His reward at first was meat. And then it was the simple me saying, good boy. And I said, Kobe will do all that for a good boy. And she said, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I said, how? And she said, you trained his brain. That was the key word. I go home, I type in train your brain. Mm-hmm. And what came up? Neurofeedback, neurofeedback, neurofeedback. So this dog training was also pivotal in me going, if this Kobe, who got kicked out of 3 preschools, has the potential to find something he doesn't care about, what is it I have the potential before? Mm-hmm. And these 108 highly creative, fabulous people. So off to neurofeedback training, I go terrified. And in my training, having to train myself, you put electrodes on your head. It's all measuring electrical activity. The first day I go in, they measure the electrical activity in my brain and look at it. And in that moment, I looked at my brain waves, which was on a big PowerPoint slide on the wall for everybody to see.
Wow.
And my first thought was, there's nothing wrong with me. It's my brain. This is how my brain functions. So I take it one step further. There's a lot I can do better, just like Kobe in training. I can train my brain to do even better. I have the potential to do anything I want if I train my brain. That combined with, which sounds opposite, sounds like a contradiction of, guess what? There's nothing wrong with me. I can look at my brain and go, guess what? You're introverted. That's because it's in there. It can't change. Then I go back to the office after all the training and I needed hours. So I said to all my clients, can I, in essence, practice on your brain? And not one client said no to me, which honored my heart. So we proceeded to do all this, lots and lots of training with neurofeedback. And majority of my clients have problems with addiction. With the problem with addiction, I've been told the same thing over and over and over, and that is nothing works, nothing works, nothing works, nothing works. Great. Let's try neurofeedback. So hook up the brain, and then here's another pivotal move. Again, I'm learning all the way with everybody else. Of here is your beautiful brain. Here's your beautiful brain waves. You're in essence, your body waves. Here's how you're breathing. Here's your temperature. Here's your sweat. Here's your heart rate. We hook you all up. It doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. And you get to see your live brain waves across the screen. And so many people, once seeing that, had the same experience that I had of, oh my gosh, these two things are happening. I'm looking and noticing nothing's wrong with me and honoring my unique brain and how it functions. But also know, I now know how I can train my brain to do things better, do things differently, to up the potential or performance of the arena in which I want to go. So it has been a game changer, an absolute game changer for me and for many, many, many clients. I write down what people say. I wish I could publish it everywhere, but everything's HIPAA protected.
Sure.
But the sentence is, one client says, when you do the neurofeedback, I feel like my brain is dancing.
Oh.
And how beautiful, because it's like a massage for the brain. And then somebody else, this very cynical young man, he did a treatment and he left and he texted and he wrote, I felt love in my heart. And I'm like, oh, how? Wow. How? Now, how does that happen? So when we're training either with a visual, with a picture, we use one with caterpillars. So you're watching the caterpillars, very elementary, and your brain is controlling the caterpillars. And at the same time, we're teaching you how to breathe in a smooth pattern. And the brain loves it. It's this fun little game puzzle, taking your brain to the gym and then getting upset or going to the, we train our brain to drink. We train our brain to use drugs. Now we've got to go in this resistance to it. And so with the neurofeedback, it's going, hey, let's enhance these natural brainwaves without medication, without any side effects of let's train your brain for these alpha brain waves to go smooth. And it is, it's kind of dancey. And so your brain gets rewarded. Then you leave the session and your brain goes, oh, wait a minute. I felt really good when I did the little caterpillar dance. Your brain wants to repeat it. And it does. It feels fabulous. It's good. But Kathy, we need about 7 hours because
Well, so I just want to highlight for our audience just the notion that we have the science now, and it's obviously it's an evolving field, but to know that we can look at our brains, which is amazing, and then we can see our brains in action, and then we know that we can actually do things that help us optimize our brains.
Absolutely.
Which is fantastic. I mean, it changes the game completely.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Correct.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt. I had a patient here in Sedona, and when he came in, he said, I was terrified to come in. But what were you terrified of? He said, I was so afraid this was going to hurt. He said, it was actually a lot of fun, which is part of the joy that I take in it, is it's so fun and it's so individualized. Mm-hmm. Your brain waves are similar to a thumbprint, and they're going to uniquely yours. Mm-hmm. And then to watch the brain learn and play and learn to get its own dopamine so that you feel better and get you over some hurdles. And another fabulous thing that it has taught me is how often I'm wrong. So I had a young teenage girl coming in for quite a while, just really struggling. And her mom kept on saying she has ADHD. And I tend to steer away from labels. So I had a really tough time with that. She's a 4 point. She has an after school job. She's doing great. She's fine. She's fine. She's fine. Her doctor, her pediatrician called, same thing. Something's up. She's fine. I see her an hour a week in my office under these conditions. She's fine. Right. I get the bag equipment. I get trained. I get her all hooked up. And I said, yay, I'm going to prove to everyone how fine you are. Sure enough, she has what we're calling it. She has these kind of little blips of where her brain is checking out. Lo and behold, she had whatever it was we were describing as ADHD. And I had to go, okay, you all were right.
All right, you win.
Yeah. So it has benefit in that realm as well.
Yeah. And so what I love about you is, number one, is this heart of discovery. And this willingness to say, oops, okay, all right, let's relook at this in a different way based on new information. And not everybody's wired that way. They have a certain lens and a certain viewpoint that they have on things, and that's it. We've kind of arrived at what we know, and we're not willing to explore and be creative and see what else has emerged in the 20-some, 30-some years that we've been practicing. So thank you.
You're very welcome. It's the line in dog training of, we can train your brain to really any potential, whatever potential it is that you have, or also give it relief, what we call PTSD. And again, I try to steer away from labels, but it's a way in which we can communicate.
Right.
The protocol for PTSD has been enormously helpful for a lot of people. And traditional talk therapy, when we talk about a trauma, you're asking your brain to do something it really struggles to do. So with neurofeedback, you don't have to say a word. You don't even have to tell me what the trauma is.
Right.
And we get you some, hopefully some relief. I have found that one to be immensely satisfying and successful.
Yeah. And so what are the results that you're seeing in your practice relative to this and addiction or alcoholism?
I have noticed that just going in to treat, so depending on where we put the electrode, there's obviously different parts of your brain are doing different things. Mm-hmm. So depending on where we put the electrode, we're going to have a different effect. So there are many, many, many studies on it, how it's helpful for addiction. And I've noticed it less helpful of putting the electrode in what I'm going to call the addiction spot, but very successful in upping the dopamine or giving relief, reducing what we're going to call PTSD and upping feel goods. We're upping these alpha brain waves. So it feels like you had a massage or you went to yoga. Mm-hmm. So my biggest success has been, ooh, we notice your brain is under firing here and here. Let's up it. And by nature of the being of our brain, we feel better. Secondly, breathing, which I did not know until I did this training, that breathing is the most important thing that we do. Mm-hmm. Our breathing is the boss. So we say we get scared, we hear a bump. Okay, mm-hmm. Our breathing is affected first. Mm-hmm. Then it says to the central nervous system, hey, let's freak out. Then the brain's the last one to the party. So I always think it's in reverse. I think my brain is smart and my gut is dumb. Not true. Yeah. The breathing is boss. And when you get to see also your breathing patterns,
yeah,
most people have a tendency to hold or to restrict breath, which is the main problem then that the brain is having, because the brain needs all that air. Mm-hmm. So it could be going back and saying, hey, let's teach you how to breathe to calm your nervous system down. Or some people, a sweet young client who always wanted an A+. And so she's watching and she was so stressed out about her waves on the screen that she couldn't get the caterpillar to move. She wanted to win the game. So sometimes it's just a matter of learning the breathing. And then also two things. One is, for someone who's suffering from addiction or somebody who's not, is simply seeing, look at my brain. Nothing's wrong with me, but if I do this or do this, I have the potential to feel better and do better.
And so I'm wondering, out of all the kind of parts of what you've said there, is dopamine is a hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the cortisol is a hormone relative to stress and fight, flight, freeze, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So part of it is, are you dampening the cortisol and amplifying the dopamine?
So there's so many endorphins. We've got all our endorphins, mm-hmm. lots and lots and lots of them, and so many that we don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is we want to teach those to run in a smoother, higher frequency way. We say, hey, we're going to encourage you. So I'm going to play this tone. And every time your brain makes this wave at this higher frequency, I'm going to reward it.
Okay.
We don't like, we're going to take away the reward again. If it's maybe it's the caterpillar, or maybe it's music to offer that reward. So by nature, the cortisol is going to reduce because we're calmer. It's also going to reduce because I'm breathing. I'm getting more air throughout my system and mm-hmm. therefore my brain.
Right. And I'm thinking about this in relation to something I'd heard not too long ago in terms of 5 minutes of anger equals 3 hours of suppressed immune system.
Ooh, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. And so if you have what I call emotional fitness, to be able to modulate your own emotions and experience, because I mean, we are gifted with the gift of awareness and paying attention to what's going through our minds and what we're feeling and so on and so forth. And what it sounds like through this also, you're able to actually like be in more agency and power over how your brain's operating.
Correct. And it's learning to do that through all these avenues. Maybe mine would be that I have a very choppy way of breathing that mm-hmm. becomes habitual. So many things do become habitual. So
right.
How do I work with that part of my brain? How do I train the parts that are overfiring to be quiet, the parts that are quiet to fire up? And so much of it is that breathing cycle. Mm-hmm. And again, it just goes back to the core things that we all need. Frustrates me too. I'm like, no, there should be something more. We need sunshine and we need to breathe properly and we need to stretch and mm-hmm. we need yoga and we need to giggle. And
yes,
mostly we need to breathe. We need to breathe in a smooth way. Yeah. And I think we need way more validation and way more comfort. There's so little validation in our culture.
Yes.
I wanted to invent a validation shower. And I'm like, you would get in and these great models of good jobs would come down. It goes right back to the dog. Look at what the dog is willing to do to say, good job.
Right.
In essence, that's what neurofeedback is doing. It's going, good job, brain. And then you get the satisfaction of actually seeing it mm-hmm. on the screen.
Right. I was reading an article just recently that said one of the top, if not the top things that contributes to really great relationships over time is saying thank you on a consistent, regular basis. And like you said, when you boil these things down, these are simple, easy things that if we just foundationally adopt this, all these different things, we'll just be happier, healthier humans.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Or we could find something that either gives you comfort or that you didn't know.
Yes.
We can see, oh, this part of your brain's overfiring. Again, this one's underfiring. We could go, huh, on my whole life and didn't know that. The gentleman in Sedona example that I used came in and he presented himself as an expert breather. He says, I do yoga. I do this. I do energy class and I'm an expert. Hook me up. You'll see. And it was the worst breather I've seen in a long time. And he was so surprised. And then he goes, okay, this is so good to know. This was the piece of the puzzle that was missing.
Right.
And there's just so many examples of people that go, hi, didn't realize that. There's a teeny negative to that in sometimes we have fear of what all somebody will find out. A lot of us avoid going to the doctor mm-hmm. because of what they might find.
Right.
Many times when I do like a mini brain map, and then I will say, huh, it appears that you have A, B, C, D, and I will read it off. A handful of people had said, that was private and personal. I had no idea that you could actually see that by doing this mini brain map. And so it can be a little frightening too of, the one person, oh, there's a possibility of a learning disability in there. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that's a secret. I didn't want anybody to know that. It's okay. It's okay.
But I'm not going to tell anybody.
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
Or my favorite is, if you hook me up, can you see my thoughts? And I'm like, I probably don't want to. No, thank you.
Oh, that's great.
And so, my driving where I am, Kathy, is just so honoring the people that walk through my door, the courage that it takes, title of what you do, having the courage to walk in the door. And I tell every single person that it takes so much courage to walk in the door. And now I've added this to my menu of services. Here's this biofeedback, neurofeedback to assist into hopes we can answer this. How do I get just a little bit better? How can we work fuller to our potential? But every person that's come in and said, yeah, I'm going to trust this space and I'm going to trust you with this space to get to a better space. And I'm absolutely honored for that. And the neurofeedback solves one more thing for me. And that is, in my own journey of bumping into so many platitudes and cliches, the fake it till you make it, you're fine, or follow these steps or this, take stripping me of the uniqueness of who I am and also finding out that it doesn't validate you. It's you need to do this different in a way where I'm like, well, that's a personal opinion of me trying to formulate who I am into somebody's workbook versus, wow, look at that. This introversion, for example, is in my brain. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the notion of we frame things, generally speaking, most people frame things in terms of good, bad, right, wrong. And if you can step back from that and approach most things actually with a curious spirit and with, okay, so this behavior doesn't get the outcomes that I want to create. It's not good or bad or right or wrong. It's just, it's not getting me in the direction that I really, truly want to go. And I think that's so steeped in the addiction community and the world and alcoholism, this whole stigma, judgment, moral overlay, you're a bad person, you're wrong, you are going to go to hell, all the things, which just drives generally people deeper and deeper into the disease. And so to be able to create a psychologically safe space, which is one of your superpowers, so that people can enter and feel safe, like almost immediately they can drop the armor to a certain extent and then step into possibilities that they had never quite frankly probably experienced before.
Correct. And thank you for that. And when we are safe, we can drop that armor. In my opinion, neurofeedback is so incredibly complicated. One woman I trained with, she said when we were training, it felt like getting blasted with a fire hose of information. Like it almost hurt. And I know this little teeny sliver. That sliver is giving so many people hope and relief and redirection that I'm very curious and hopeful to see where neurofeedback goes in the next few years.
Absolutely.
And for me, it's been a pivotal, absolute game changer. again, for myself, for everybody that's allowed me to work with them with adding neurofeedback to why they were coming in. It's been incredible.
Yeah. So your journey in terms of continuing to explore neurofeedback takes what form? Does it take more education? Are there more courses or certifications or whatever along those lines? Or is it really just playing with it?
I would say I'm on the first rung and I've got this.
Oh, there's a bunch of rungs.
A ladder to go up. And the classic, I'm on the shoulders of these fabulous, fabulous intellectual giants that have passed on their massive intelligence to pieces of it to me with the training. I have a long way to go. I'm still calling myself new to this. I get incredibly, incredibly excited about it, which, yeah, we get excited about a few things, but this brings me great joy. My daughter, when she was too young to have a driver's license, occasionally we'd go jet skiing in Coeur d'Alene. And it was too, so we would wait until the staff that would rent us the jet ski couldn't see us. And then we would swap places so she could drive without her license. And she loved it so much. We didn't get to go too often, but she loved it so much that she would get there. She would grab the grips of the water ski and she would make this sound. She would go, so much. And I rarely have heard her made that sound any other time, but the neurofeedback, the computer program makes this little ding, ding, ding. And every time it does that, I feel myself making the jet ski noise. Here we go. What are we going to find? Right. And also the absolute thrill of knowing that people, my motto, experience change. 100% of people that have come in have said, this is what changed for me.
Wow.
And to me, that is greatness. It's jet ski. It's making this thing you love so much that it gives this gut response.
Right. I love that. So I know there are going to be people that are listening to this through the lens of, oh, this is the thing that will fix my loved one. So I just want you to kind of address that because this is one tool potentially out of a whole toolbox. And you have decades of experience in this arena. So I don't want people from a simplistic perspective to just grab a hold of neurofeedback and go, this is it.
Yeah, if only. It would be great. I think the greatest thing that this could offer somebody is relief and hope. Or for people who have a sensitivity to medications, this is an avenue for people in which there's no medication that could give that hope. And there's no magic bullet for any of us, no matter what we're struggling with. It is combining all these pieces. And again, going, I have the potential, but it's going to take me my lifetime probably to get there.
Yeah.
And we all have whatever, you know, oh, I'm bored of this workout class or didn't get what I needed over here. And for me, I keep trying things on. Energy classes, and I've been doing Qigong, and we have invisible balls and invisible swords and invisible tables. And the teaching of the movement, combining movement with breathing too. And I'm all, okay, that's another tool that I can use. So despite the magical science, as I like to call it, it's just another little nugget that we have to assist and help or offer us something that we didn't know.
Right. Okay. And so what I'm also thinking about is there's so much research and discussion now in books now related to how trauma is kind of underlying root cause of so many things. And so I'm curious as to what your perspective is from that perspective.
Neurofeedback for trauma is incredibly useful, incredibly useful. I see it that it kind of grabs onto parts of the amygdala where trauma likes to hide. It just takes a little bit out. So I see it's like it makes some air. It makes in there. So maybe we're not recalling that or as jumpy or having triggers or whatever it is. Incredibly helpful. And there's so much more work coming out on trauma and neurofeedback. And I have had probably the most success in treating trauma than in treating anything else in my office. So it's very helpful. And again, I've treated myself with it. And so acknowledging, oh, hey, this absolutely works. And I'm willing to put electrodes everywhere. I was terrified to do it in the beginning, but now I will try. So very helpful. And again, we're all still just learning. We're learning. And what's going to happen to your brain versus my brain is going to be very, very, very different.
Right.
But we have the advantage of seeing that, of going, we're all going to have a different response to what happens. But the good news of this is you won't get hurt. You could leave with a headache. That's about it. It cannot hurt you.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll leave with relief.
And so is this a methodology or modality that you do over and over and over again? Or is this something that you do a few times? And I'm asking that question at the same time I'm in my head, I'm going, well, since our brains are all different, I don't know that you can even answer that question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So
it seems to average about 20 sessions. For most people, some people have one treatment and go, I feel better. And I think part of that is just the validation of, oh, look, I'm okay. I'm okay. Therefore, I can breathe, or I need to learn to breathe better. And other people find going along weekly for about 20 sessions is very helpful. So it's been a little experimental in that I was in Bozeman and now I'm in Sedona most of the time. And so people in Bozeman weren't getting treated, but I was going back every month or 2 months. And it was interesting how the brain had, for some people, showed, oh, it did need that tune-up. People could feel it. Hey, I need a tune-up for this and this. And the variety pack of what it helps and why people are coming in, it's limitless. A woman came in for reoccurring cold sores and she says, is there anyone in neurofeedback could help this? Well, I don't know. Let me research it. I do. Lo and behold, we do 7 sessions, never had a cold sore again. So is this a placebo? Who knows? I don't think so, because we can see it on the computer. So it's the courage of the person coming in, dropping the armor, as you said, and saying, here's what I would like to work on, or the surprise of, hey, here's something that we found that you might want to add to working on that. And again, however many sessions, and we can watch the progression, or you might want to steer somewhere else. Okay, I just worked on trauma and now I want to work on something else. So it could take a different direction as well.
Yeah, we're needing to wrap up here. So I'm wondering, is there something I should have asked that I didn't ask? Or is there something that you want to say that hasn't been said yet that would be important for my audience to hear?
I think the main message I would like to say is this exists. Neurofeedback exists. And even if you go in for one, not even treatment, but one, hey, let's have a look in hopes that many people can have the experience that I did. And that is, whoa, look, I'm me. I'm me. And so there's some great comfort and validation in I'm me. And then just like the dog training, where do I want to take this? I think we need the we're okay and the good job and the validation in which to get to the next step.
Right.
So something that both of these trainings has taught me. So it's an avenue that's out there. It doesn't hurt. There's no side effects. There's no medication. And it feels good. And it's absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
If nothing, please try it.
Well, and one thing I would say also is, people do want to be careful about who they choose to do their work with, because it matters. And I have a counseling degree, master's degree, and I have always said through the decades that I'm looking for that top 5 to 10% of professionals in whatever avenue I'm looking for help. So be very choiceful about who you choose to work with, because not everybody is as skilled as Vanessa is and open to learning and continuing to explore this avenue and other avenues too. So again, I'm saying to the audience is be choiceful, make sure that you're getting somebody who is skilled and is learning and continues to grow and is humble and create safe space. So I think it's important to say that too.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So where can people get a hold of you? You alluded to Bozeman, Montana and Sedona, Arizona. Are you going back to Bozeman at this point, or is Bozeman in the rearview mirror for you?
Both. I will be back in March, and then I'll probably keep going back for every month or two for as long as my energy will allow.
Yeah.
So So I am in both places. It can be reached. There's a website and there's a Bozeman phone and a Sedona phone number.
And what's the website, Vanessa?
It's SedonaNeuroFit.com.
And we will also have all your contact information on the show notes so that people can get a hold of you too. And how do you prefer people to get a hold of you?
Either phone, text, email, it's all good.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Kathy, so much. I'm really glad that you tracked me down and that we had this conversation. I really, really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so thrilled I tracked you down too, because I've thought about you so often through the years, and it's very rare that people reach back to somebody who helped way long ago to kind of touch base and say, this is where we are in our lives and our world, and to say thank you for you playing a pivotal foundational role at that time. And then, of course, we have this conversation. Then you tell me about neurofeedback, and I'm like, okay, say more, because I'm a huge learner and I just want to know more. So I'm thrilled to have you on and to share this with our audience. And we may be continuing this conversation in another time too.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Addiction never affects just the addict. It affects all of us. Recovering from addiction and alcoholism is also a life-changing battle for families dealing with a loved one's addiction. Numerous programs support addicts as they reclaim their lives, while their families face their own challenges without the same guidance. You're listening to Voices in Courage with K.L. Wells, where we transform the lives of the families and loved ones of addicts and alcoholics from surviving to thriving in the midst of chaos. Tune in as we highlight vulnerable stories of families who have addicted relatives and friends and learn how they have dealt with the challenges of isolation, desperation, and shame. If you are seeking ways to live your best life, then we welcome you into this safe space. Be a part of change today with your host, K.L. Wells.